Yeah, good morning. This is the February 2014 Matrix Transformation call and the first call of the month. And I've got a couple of themes and, one theme and some things to talk about for this month and to look at for ourselves. And first of all, the theme is of the month is relationships, and I've kind of subtitled it "The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly." I'm not sure where that came from. I know it came from something, whether it was film or not. Anyway, just looking at the relationships in our life, and in particular, we're having the archetype of the month is the ugly stepsisters from Cinderella, and the way things like, and with them, I think what's brought up is the way that jealousy and feelings of jealousy and entitlement can get in the way of us standing in our light, but also, I think, like we've in some of the different workshops that we've done, or the different like the Money Matrix Marathon, we've looked at the ugly sisters, and we've found things like that they feel that they're not good enough, and they aren't really ready to stand in their light, which is why they're criticizing and trying to undermine Cinderella, and Cinderella not being able to shine because of them, you know, trying to keep her from her natural destiny. So we're gonna go into those questions, but also what one of the things that the magic spell we talk about this month is meeting and greeting our shadow. That's being with our shadow side, the side of us that we don't really love that much, and that we want to keep away from often at a distance. And really, it can be the source of our development and the source of us really getting what we want. And this afternoon, with the Creativity Cafe, I'm actually interviewing Judy Katz, and she's going to talk about that at length with, and I think it's really interesting if people can't catch the show just to do it, to come on later and listen to the replay, but I think it's going to be really worthwhile because she's really gone through situations where she's been able to manifest amazing stuff. Like she's just, you know, she's one of the, she was in real estate and would kind of turn around a house in 30 days. And just through working with the law of attraction and all that, but during a period of her life, she went through a really deep depression and despair and went into financial problems and everything. And through that period, she kind of realized that elements of that were holding her back and from her past, and how that was affecting, you know, what she was attracting into life. So that's really worth looking at. And I think for all of us, just looking at what our shadow sides are and actually becoming friends with it, because it can be a source of amazing information. And also development and alchemy, because those things that you find most difficult are often the things that you actually developed particular gifts in helping others with. So I'm going to do... And what I'm going to do, what's interesting with Cinderella and the stepsisters is I think the whole thing of also sibling rivalry and how siblings relate to each other and what roles they take. And actually, my brother John did a whole film on this, which is quite fascinating because... you know, the dynamics of the family and how it's often easier for us actually to, how would you say, I don't know if that's for everybody, but to accept that other people are famous or talented or whatever than our actual sisters and brothers, because our sisters and brothers were sometimes vying for attention and love from our parents, and so it's almost a what I would call a survival mechanism that we want to be the kind of the best or get the most attention and love. And yet, so that's probably good in some ways, but there's also the really negative part in that we don't recognize the things of sorry, excuse my throat. We don't recognize, the accomplishments, or try and downgrade the accomplishments of our sisters and brothers, and or they do the same for us. And sometimes it can be very open, and sometimes it can be really quite masked, but still there. So I'm going to go into. Sorry. Oh dear, I'm going to take some water. And just greeting. Hi, Alex. I see you're on the call. So we welcomed okay. everybody else before. So I'm going to be croaking away, which maybe is good for the character. And I'm going to see what I'm going to go into, hoping that it's, will illuminate something for people on the call. Hey. Okay. Okay, I'm just feeling into this for a moment. Well, they always talk about Cinderella. Cinderella, Cinderella, Cinderella. I mean, they don't even remember our names. All we're talked about as the ugly stepsisters. That's how were remembered. We weren't even all that ugly, actually. But in comparison to her natural beauty, we just kind of dimmed. Now, Cinderella got to go off to the ball, and she got to meet her prince. And she had such fun and was able to do whatever she could dream up. But what happened to us? You don't hear about that. You don't hear about that at all. Well, to tell you the truth, we had a not bad life. She looked after us. She looked after us, but we felt like second best. In fact, I've always felt like second best, but I try not to show it. I try not to show it by putting down other people and acting like I am better. But somewhere, I feel second best. I don't really want to be saying this at all. In fact, forget that I said that. Forget that I said that. I am the best. It's just I never got recognized. I never got recognized for my talents. And this, I really, really don't like the life I live. I never am really happy. I'm just eaten and eaten away by my jealousy for my sister, just looking at all that she has and all the attention she gets. I never get that attention. All I ever wanted was attention. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. Okay. Another angle on the ugly sister. Or stepsister. So, just wondering if anybody has any take on that, and we can go into clearing. And also, given that we're coming up to Valentine's Day and everything, and so, there's also the thing about couple relationships and conflicts there in relationship. Anything that you want to put on board about relationships, and clearing around that, you're welcome. Okay? Yes? Hello?
Denise here.
Oh, great. Thank you.
So I guess my reaction, first of all, I just need to let you know, right now my sister, my actual sister, is in crisis. And
oh, my goodness.
It's just another long, dramatic crisis that she expects me to bail her out of. And so in the role of stepsister, as you were in the role of stepsister, I got to think, there's Cinderella's going to bail her out. And, the only way Cinderella could be loved by her sisters is if she diminishes her light. And the sister has burned the bridge. It won't happen. The sister is so jealous that Cinderella can't win. She can't be herself and be in her light without losing the sister's love to this jealousy. And if she diminishes her light, and decides to step down and let her sister be, you know, to be less than she is so that her sister can, you know, step up. It won't work. It just isn't going to work. It will just cause more pain for everybody. And Cinderella then will get jealous because she's not stepping into her own power.
Okay.
You know, so I feel like, I mean, that's been the dynamic in my family. And, you know, it's been one of these things that, for me, earning money, why earn money? I keep having to give it to my sisters. You know, why have anything? I have to give it to my sisters. And so that energy is just so strong right now for me. And it's so difficult. But anyway, that's where I'm at. And it's this week, you know, she's in another crisis. And I've got three younger sisters, and they're all like this.
Wow. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's certainly really strong, and we can work on some clearing around that, too. Yeah. Anybody else have a reaction to it or other issues to bring up?
I think, Katie, for me, what I want to put to the pot is the program that I have that nothing's ever good enough, and even when things are, you know, there is no crises and things are going smooth in my relationship and in my work, I'm always trying to find something wrong because that's the pattern. You know, as a child, I was always told I wasn't good enough and, you know, all that kind of negative. So that's what I'd like to put into the pot.
Great. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. It's hard to really accept life as good when it's never been good enough in your past. Yeah, and right. And, you know, where your family finds things wrong with you, then it's natural that you would start looking for things that are wrong. Yeah, great, thank you. Anybody else want to put in something? Or we'll start with that.
Katie, this is Loretta. Mm-hmm. The part that really struck me was that you were in her place. I mean, you were the stepsister was saying, you know, well, I'm second best, and she just thinks she's this, and she thinks she's that, and I'm second. No, I'm not second best. I'm first. I'm better. You know, and I was thinking to myself how often that labeling trips me up. You know, it's like she's in a denial, but she doesn't have to be best or second best. She has to just be herself. And she can't do that because she's that comparative piece, which is one of the banes of one of my existences, you know, always, well, this one is better in this comparison type of thing. But I heard it so clearly when you were saying it. It was like a real light. It's like, who has to say best or second or third or fifth or a thousandth best? You know, it's like if each person's who they are, meaning me and the stepsister that I heard you talking about, then...
Mm-hmm.
What's the competition? We're not at the Academy Awards, you know. We're not in Sochi, you know, on the ski slope. It's like, anyway. I think that was the light that came to me.
Wonderful, and it is like just part of our culture of compare, which. Actually, I mean, there's probably always going to be comparison, but our culture really heightens it and encourages it, you know, through the competition and is always emphasizing first, second, and third, you know, rather than everybody coming into their own and having their unique gifts. So it's definitely something where there's a huge amount of cultural pressure, and really we're all caught up in it in some ways.
Yep. Exactly.
And I think as parents, we also, I mean, I only have one kid, so that helps. I have two dogs, and the dogs vie for attention. And it's like trying to give them the right, you know, like give them equal attention is really difficult. And they're kind of jealous sisters, although they love each other too. And what my mother's strategy was, and I think was to try and treat us all equally, but then she kind of categorized us. Like one of us, would, like my sister Caroline was the beautiful one, and then my sister Philippa was the artistic one. I think I was kind of a somewhat intelligent girl, but I'm not sure. But I think, you know, because I did college and all that. And of course, my brothers, well, they were the men of the family, so they didn't really. Actually, that's interesting. I'm not quite sure how they were categorized there. I just know that for the women, we had very separate, different roles that we would have to fulfill, and we couldn't be all of them. And then my mother, in order to try and make one of us feel good, would criticize the other one, or other girls, and kind of make a comparison with us, where she would heighten our, you know, maybe some of our abilities, but by criticizing somebody else. But in the end, that leads to insecurity as well, because you're thinking, oh, well, if she's criticizing me, the other person, well, what she's saying about me behind my back. So there's, you know, there's all sorts of strange kind of family stuff that goes on around this, even with the best intentions. So here we go. I'm going to go into some clearing, unless anybody else has another comment.
Actually, Katie, there's a little thing coming up for me, if I could.
Yes, please.
My sister is very musical and starting to, well, not starting, but writing music and singing, and she just, her songs are just amazing. And I'm just noticing in myself here that I would far rather support her and bring her to the limelight than bring myself there. So there's a little bit of still wanting to, not really believing in myself that I can shine like she does.
Yeah.
A little twinge there.
Thank you. And does that feel like in your childhood you weren't particularly encouraged, or where does that come from?
No, it's the opposite, actually. I felt that I had it all, that I was loved more, and I was downplaying that, I think, so that she could feel better, because I think she was the unwanted child. She came along a year and a half after me, and Mom couldn't really handle her, both of us.
Okay.
So I think I was sort of putting myself on the back shelf quite a bit to allow her to shine. And I still have that little bit of feeling left. Not as much, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's great. to know and notice. And it is the interesting thing that often children, when they're over, there's more attention paid to them, is that they actually, than another, in order to protect themselves against the jealousy of the other, they do dim their lights. So wonderful. So we'll start in with this, and I'm going to just take some more water, and everybody can sip their water too. Excuse me. So here we go. Okay, I'm going to start with Denise's, and then we'll work through these. Actually, Denise, I have some similar stuff, but it's a bit different in that the family of my husband always seems to be having these dramatic crises, and every time money comes in, there's often a pressure to, solve one of these family crises because, you know, they want money or they need money, and I'm just noticing that too happening again. So here we go. Even though it feels like as soon as I get any money that it gets taken away from me, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though it feels like as soon as I get any money it gets taken away from me and it's not really worth it to earn it in the first place, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though when I get money, I feel like it's taken away from me. I deeply love and accept myself. I want to be generous. I want to help people. I want to be generous. I want to help people. I want to be generous. I want to help people. I want to be generous. I want to help people. I want to help people. I want to help people. But it's getting too much. It's getting too much. Do I help people just who go in crisis all the time? Is that how my money is going to be spent? Is that how my money is going to be spent? Is that going to help anything? Or just renew the cycle? Just continue the cycle, the cycle, the cycle, the cycle, 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 cycle. It's all psycho. It's all psycho. I got to let it go. I got to let it go. I can't help them. I can't help them. I can't help them. Because my role is to help others, other people who are getting on their feet and getting out in the world and doing amazing things. And I want to support not the endless pit. I don't want to support the endless pit. I want to support that which generates, more positivity, that which bring something out that gives birth rather than destroys, that gives birth rather than destroys. I want to be generative. I want to be generative. I want my money to be generative. I want it to be used by people who can use it in a way that will really further the world, that will really further the health of this planet. I want to use my money. I want to use my money to do good, but not to just stave off crises that need to be solved by the people who are in them, that need, where they need to do the work, where they need to do the work, even though they never will do the work or don't want to do the work or can't do the work or whatever. It's not my problem. It's not my problem. It's not my problem. It's not my problem. Okay. Unless there's anything around that, I will keep going. Okay, and people can bring up stuff later. So, okay, so we'll do Alex's, and you know, of course, all of these are for everybody, and they hit different points. So that's about not being good enough, about creating crises. Okay. Even though I'm always looking for a way to create a crisis because it can't just be good, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I'm always looking for a way for things to go wrong, for things not to be good enough, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I'm looking for a crisis to make life exciting, I deeply love and accept myself. What is this? What is this? What is this? I have to pick on myself, pick on others, pick, because it can't be good enough. I can't just look at the present and say, beautiful, I love this. I just can't do that. I just can't do it. It feels boring. It feels like I should be doing something else. It feels like I should be doing something else. It always feels like I should be doing something else than what I'm doing. I should be doing something else than what I'm doing. I should be doing something else, something else. Yes, I should be doing something else. I should, I should, I should, or I would, I would, I would, I will, I will, I will. I just want to be in the moment appreciating it. I just want to be thanking the moment. I want to be thanking for what I have, thanking for what I have, and that everything is enough, enough as it is. And when it isn't, it will become more. When it isn't, it will become more. I just am going to keep thanking and 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 thanking, because there's nothing else I can do but thank. But thank, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. Focus on the good, focus on the good, focus on the good, focus on the good. Shift my attention from what is not enough to what is enough. Shift my attention to what is enough. What is enough? What's perfect? What's perfect? What's perfect? It's all perfect. It's all perfect. It's all perfectly imperfect. I'm good enough. I'm good enough. I'm good enough. Everybody else is good enough. They're just doing what they can right now, which is good enough. 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 Okay. So I'm going to keep going and then maybe people can talk at the end of these things. Okay. Well, even though I'm always making comparisons about me and others, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I'm always making comparisons about me, myself, and others, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I'm always making comparisons and I drive myself crazy by all this, I deeply love and accept myself. Comparisons. I'm comparing to the past, to the present, to the future. I'm just always comparing. I'm comparing myself to other people. Am I number one? Am I number one? Can I make it to number one? And if I'm not number one, am I number two, number three, number four, number five, number a million? What is all this comparison about? What does this comparison do? Does it serve me? Does it serve me? It doesn't serve me, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of comparing things because the things I'm comparing have no comparison. It's like comparing oranges and apples, oranges and apples, oranges and apples, and walnuts, oranges, apples, and walnuts. It's like comparing them. You can't compare with them. They're all different. They all have their different functions. And every little particle of this universe has a different role, a different role. Fits in, fits in, fits in, fits in. We all fit in. We're all part of everything. We're all number one. We're all number two. We're all number three. We're all number a million. We're all part of it. We're all number 10, number 8, number 6, number 5, number 100. We're all numbers. And yet we're more than numbers. We're more than numbers. We're different than numbers. We're all part of it. We're all part of it. So let's be at peace with being any number on the comparison scale, knowing that the comparison scale doesn't mean anything. All that we need to do is the best we can. All that we need to do is the best we can right now, the best we can right now, the best we can. Okay, so I'm going to take some water, and I advise other people to do that. Now, okay, I'm going to go into some stuff that Shelley brought up. Even though my sister is really musical, and I feel like I'm actually would like to support her, and yet I would like to have more of the limelight. Even though my sister is so musical and so amazing, and she's starting to move into it, and I'm feeling a little twinge. I deeply love and accept myself. I'm feeling twinges. I don't quite believe I can shine. I'm happy that she's shining. I'm happy that she has some happiness finally, because it's been a hard road for her. It's been a really hard road for her. It's a really hard road for her, and her singing has that soul and beautiful quality coming from that hard road, she's traveled. And yet I've had my own hard road to travel, even though I got things better, things came easier. There's some things that haven't come easier. I haven't really shone in my light. And I'm always letting somebody else shine. My husband shine. Other people shine, because somewhere I feel like I'm not enough, that I'm not right, that somehow it's not right for me to shine. Somehow I can't shine with my gifts. And I'm even hesitant about exploring all my gifts. I mean, what are all my gifts? It feels like I've had a tight rein on all my gifts, that I've been pushing them down, pushing them down, pushing them down. I've been pushing down my gifts, and yet I have so many. I have so many. So why don't I just rejoice in them? Rejoice in others, but rejoice in mine. And gradually, gradually, gradually let my gifts slip out. Gifts. Little secret gifts. emerging, little secret gifts emerging. Let me stop the secrets, stop the secrets, stop the secrets. Everything has been a secret with me, a secret about my gifts, a secret, a real secret, because while I've been recognized and praised, people ain't seen nothing yet. People ain't seen nothing yet. They haven't seen anything yet. They haven't seen the magnificent bright star that I can shine. They haven't seen it yet. They haven't seen it yet. And I'm afraid still to let it shine. I'm afraid, but it's okay. It's okay. I can let it shine. I can let it shine. I can let my little light shine brightly. Okay. So I'm going to take some more feedback about how any of those hit you, and also if we want to go further into any other issues or further into a particular issue we already have done. Okay, so I'm going to open it up.
Hey, Katie, Denise here.
Yes, Denise.
I think, first of all, thank you. For me, because I'm in the Phoenix Project too, I think it's opening up something very almost pre-verbal. Because it's like I'm the oldest, and it's like I was born to serve everyone else's needs, and mine weren't important. And so, if my gifts shine, I'm not allowed to enjoy them. I'm not allowed to reap the benefit of them. And it's really for the benefit of my mother, the benefit of my sisters, but not for me.
Wow. So that is kind of like, why bother then, almost?
Yeah. It's kind of like, in order for me to get what I need, it's better if I don't do anything.
Yeah.
It sounds weird, but...
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Like, why bother? It's just going to... Nothing comes back to you. It's a lot of effort to get your gifts out in the world.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And it's very... And it's pre-verbal. I can tell you that. It's not... There's not a lot of words around it.
Okay. Yeah, so women... maybe we'll go back into that a little bit more. And anybody else have something coming up, like to share? Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually just deal with or work on this thing with Denise and see how that goes, and then get some feedback, and then we'll go probably into the healing codes, unless somebody else has got something else they want. Okay, so, okay. Even though from the very beginning I have been silenced, in a role of service, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though from the very beginning, from before I was even born, from way, way back, even though my gifts have been just to serve others and not to serve myself, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though from eons and eons I have served and never come into the light, I deeply love and accept myself. I love service. I love service. I love service. I love service. I've loved it for centuries and eons and eons. I love service, but it's being used against me. It's being used against me. Like, so many women, so many men who've selflessly served, it's used against us. Or not fully for us. Not fully for us. I want to embrace, for me and for all those others who need to embrace my light, I want to embrace my light. I want to come into my light. I want my gifts to shine and to reap the benefits. I'm tired of letting my gifts shine, giving, 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 giving. I'm tired of giving. I just want to be recognized, recognized, given, given rest. Given time to rest, given time for self-care, given beautiful clothes, given all the things that I deny myself. I just want to have fun. I just want to have fun. I'm tired of serving, serving, serving. I just want to have fun. This girl just wants to have fun, wants to have fun along with serving. Yeah, sure. I want to have fun. I want to have fun serving. I want to have fun serving. And I don't want it to drain me. I don't want it to drain me anymore. I'm not prepared to let it drain me anymore. I'm going to shine in my light. I'm going to absolutely shine in my light. And I'm going to have a great time. And damn it, all those people who don't, who want to just pull on me, I'm just going to lift my cape and just whisk them off. I'm going to lift my cape and whisk them off. They're going to be whisked out of my life. They're going to be whisked energetically out of my life. Out of my life. Out of my life. Out of my life. I don't need you anymore. I don't need you anymore to prove my worth. I don't need you to prove my worth. I'm going to have my own. I'm coming into my own. I'm coming into my own. I'm coming into my own. It's so fast. I'm scared. I'm scared. That little one is scared. The little one is really scared. Scared of coming out of service to everybody else but herself. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Okay. So, anybody else want to say anything? And then we're going to put things in for the clearing. For the healing codes, I mean, that we can do. Denise, anything coming out of that? Or anybody else?
I just want to say thank you. I felt the little girl.
Oh, yeah.
who wants to have fun?
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. So, okay. Yes?
Hey, it's Loretta. I don't know how to say this, but I'm going to try because I think it'll help me. I was the only daughter. My mom and dad had two. I had two brothers, so there were three of us.
Mm-hmm.
But my sense when I was growing up was my mother's life had been really horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
As a child and as a young adult, she had very little hope for herself. Mentally she was fragile, but she also had a very, very poor self-image. And I'm just realizing, as you were talking, that her need was for me to be, she wanted to live her life through me.
Okay.
And she wanted for me everything that she didn't feel she had for herself.
Right.
But at the same time, I picked up everything in terms of her anxiety and her negativity. I picked that up, and it was like I left home when I was 17, and I entered into a life of service.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. I don't know the connection, but it was almost like I unconsciously I denied my mother any possibility of having a life through me because I just totally removed myself from the life. And, you know, children, you know, she wanted to have grandchildren. I didn't give her that because the life I chose didn't factor that in. All the things that she saw that she wanted to live through me were not going to happen. And it wasn't conscious for me, but there's something about that when you were talking, it's like, oh my God, you know, and no wonder I got tired of serving because I wasn't serving for the sake of letting my light shine. It was something I was doing that was resisting way back then what it was that was expected of me. And so there wasn't any grounding of my own. This is who I am. This is the gift I have, the beauty I hold within me. Because it was her desire to live through me.
Right.
There's a lot. There's just a lot that I can't say, but there's something that's really striking me, and I'm really grateful to you. Thank you.
Well, that's a huge realization, and and we'll see. There may be So whether we can clear it now, or I think almost that there's some further clearing, maybe at one of our other sessions, but we'll see. But great realization. Anybody else want to say something? Okay. Actually, I'm going to do a very fast one for you, Loretta, and then I'm going to go straight into the healing codes for everything. But I'm feeling like I just want to address that for a moment. Let me see. Oh, boy. Even though I feel torn, and I've always felt torn between wanting to make my mother's life better and wanting to have my own, I deeply love and accept myself, even though I've always felt torn and guilty because I couldn't be what my mother wanted me to be. I deeply love and accept myself, even though I've always felt guilty and sad that I could never be what my mom wanted me to be for her. I deeply love and accept myself.
Mm-hmm.
I deeply love and accept myself. I do. I couldn't do anything. I'm not her. She abdicated her life to me. And here I was having to run away, never recognize my real gifts, just run away. I'm tired of running. I am tired of running. Now I'm committing to my gifts. I'm giving my 150% to my gifts. I'm not running away anymore. And Mom, I'm not going to feel guilty anymore. It's enough guilt for a lifetime. It's enough guilt for 1,000 lifetimes. It's enough guilt. I'm letting it go. Okay. And that may engender a few things. And then maybe... it's going to bring up other things to the surface, so we can just let that rest. So with the prayer, we're going to move into the healing codes, and we're going to pray request that all known negative images, unhealthy beliefs, and destructive cellular memories, and all resulting physical issues related to relationship issues and jealousy and well, you can just fill in your particular thing about not being enough, of things not being enough, all those things that are affecting your relationship, or the fact that you're supposed to serve and nobody's supposed to serve you, all those things that have happened in your life and are patterns. Those patterns of comparison, those patterns of running away, all those be found, opened, and healed, filling me with the love, life, and light of the great divine. I also ask that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. Okay, so whatever your particular issue is here, you can focus on that, and just relaxing into the healing codes. And if your issue is not enough, I feel enough, or it could be, I am no longer running away, or I am giving 100% commitment to who I am. Whatever it is that feels right for you, or just relaxing and not thinking of anything, because really the healing codes can just operate with just that heart energy of feeling good. So getting the focusing the energy of the hands in between the eyebrows and streaming the energy of the hands in between the area of the eyebrows and just relaxing into it and letting go all those beliefs that have gotten your way, that have gotten in the way of you shining your light. What if everybody in this world could just shine their light? What would that look like? Okay, and then we're going down to the down to the throat. And focusing the energy there. And then to the sides of the jaws. And then, okay, just keeping up the side of the jaw, and then up to the side of the temples. Breathing in deeply. Breathing out all those old energies. You don't have to be bound by them anymore. You're giving up the agreement. I'm giving up the agreement. Okay, in between the eyebrows. I'm giving up all agreements to serve everybody but myself. I'm giving up all my feelings that nothing can ever be good enough. I'm giving them up. I'm letting them go. One by one by one. One by one by one. Down to the throat. This girl's just going to have fun. She's going to have fun. Going to have fun. Going to have fun. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Because there's only one little light like this. So to the side of the jaws. There's only one little light like this in the whole wide, wide world, the whole universe. One little light like me. And I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine whatever anybody else says. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. Up to the side of the forehead. On focusing the hands on the temple area. What if we all shine? What if we all shine? What a beautiful world that would be. What if we all just focus on shining instead of on how we're not good enough, how other people aren't good enough? Why don't we just all shine? And between the eyebrows again. And what if all those people who are tugging on us for attention and attention and attention by crises after crises, what if we just send them love? And let them go. Send them love and let them go. No longer resisting them, just sending them love. No longer resisting, just sending them love. And letting them go. Letting them go. Down to the throat. And then to the side of the jaw. Breathing deeply. What if we could all express our brilliance? What if we could? What an amazing world it would be. It is an amazing world, but what an even more amazing world it could be. Up to the side of the temples again. What a wonderful world. What a wonderful world. Okay, hands on top of the head. And then we can, after that, you can let them rest there for a moment or two, and then let them fall to the side, fall to your side, and look out and see something in the environment that is just beautiful. I'm looking out outside and seeing these just beautiful pink flowers, bright pink. Okay, so I'm going to, actually I had put it on mute for a moment. I'm going to just take it off mute. And if anybody wants to make a last comment, they can, just as soon as I can get, yeah, you're all off mute. And then we'll say goodbye.
Katie, it's Loretta.
Yes. Yes, Loretta.
I feel about 1,000 pounds lighter.
Oh, great. Wow.
thank you. I don't weigh that much, but anyway, my spirit probably weighed 1,000 pounds, and now it's just light. It's like I just feel a real lightness inside. So thank you very much. I really appreciate the gift you give here.
Okay. That was a quick weight loss.
Right, and a healthy one.
Yes, right, quick and healthy. Thank you, Loretta, for sharing that. Anybody else, or we'll say goodbye.
It's Shelley, and
okay.
I'm just feeling like I'm shining.
Oh,
thank you
great.
Very much.
Mm. And I think there's so many opportunities for you to do that that you haven't even imagined. Yeah. And, okay, so.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks to everyone for being so open and sharing. I really gained some insights from what a few people shared. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Alex. And you're sure a bright light there. Yeah.
Yay.
Okay, and thank you, Denise, for all that you've shared on this call, too. So this has been lovely. If you can make it to the Creativity Cafe and listen to Judy, she's really got some very interesting ideas and experience around manifesting what she, just what she needed to shine in this life. And, real creative soul there. So thank you very much, and we'll see you later or be in contact. And lots of love to everybody, and happy Valentine's Day when that happens.
Thank you.
Actually, that's a little exercise everybody might do is, how are you going to treat yourself for Valentine's Day? So that's a good one for me, too. Okay. So do take care. Bye-bye then.
Bye.